My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday, the 27th of March, 2024. This is episode 303. Damon, how are you doing?
Good. It's got a little, I'm just looking at my window right now. I got a little overcast skies. I'll give you a weather report, live weather report. Drizzling. Dew point is probably very high at this point. But spirits are high as well. So I'm looking forward to spring, although I do hate. I had a long conversation with the missus, and we were talking about why I hate the spring and the summer. And the reason being is that apparently we live in the world's fucking noisiest neighborhood when it comes to dogs and motorcycles and people feeling the need to stretch their legs. Gets on my nerves. I like the winter where nobody goes outside and nobody makes noise. I've really become the old man that I never thought I would. I am leaning heavily into the old man isms of keep it down. It's 9 o'clock and keep it down. It's 8 in the morning and all of that.
Yelling at clouds.
Yes. I hate those cumulonimbuses. I've learned a lot about myself in the past year or two with the help of trained professionals, as well as my own introspectiveness, as well as friends and you as well. I'm very susceptible to noise. I don't like a lot of noise. I like the noise-canceling headphones and earbuds. I'm a big fan.
And pandemic era in New Japan.
Yeah. Yes.
Probably why we kept going. You didn't realize it, but you actually loved the clap crowds.
Yeah, I actually loved it. Speaking of which, I got the a little taste of the FOMO, the feel like, or what is it, feel on missing out?
Fear of missing out.
That's it. A little bit. So I did get tickets for the WrestleCon show. The Hitchcock show. It's usually always the best show of the weekend, right? So I wanted to get in there. But when I looked, I don't know how it happened, but they had like front row available. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to treat myself. So I'm sitting in the front row of this nonsense show. And right on the right on the entrance ramp. So I'm the last seat so I can stretch out a little bit, because I'm sure I'll have some other fat guy next to me. But I can stretch out a little bit. I was like, all right, fuck it. It's like $100-something. Why not? And then I did WrestleCon, and I also did the whatever the fuck WWE's calling their Access, their World, or whatever the fuck it is. It's just because I'm kind of into like seeing some of the old stuff. You know, seeing fucking the museum aspect. I don't give a shit about the signings. But then WrestleCon's fun because there's always vendors and maybe there's some weird shit that I might want to buy. So I got suckered in. So I'll be there. So if anybody else is there, feel free to say hi. I'm sure I'll be the guy with the Maple Leafs hat on and the AirPod Maxes on to avoid the noise. Now, listen, I'm going to ask a question, and you tell me. Now, you know as well as I do that I haven't been 100% on my sobriety, right? I've had a beer or two throughout the past, I would say, 6 months, right? But this will be the first time I'll have a beer in a wrestling setting. Do I, A, go no beer, no beer, or do I have a pint or two?
You're asking me.
I'm asking you.
That's a lot of pressure you're putting on me to give you a good answer to that.
I know it comes into my decision. I understand that, but I want your advice. Yes,
please. I would say no beer. I'd say no beer.
No beer.
Because, yeah.
Okay.
Because having that as your mindset from the get-go
right.
is easier to navigate than the sort of uncertainty of, oh, you know, maybe one or two, which could easily turn into three, which could turn into four.
Oh, no doubt. And yeah. I think you're right.
Before you know it, you're sleeping through a Tokyo Dome main event.
I know. What an embarrassing moment. Yes. I think you're right. I don't even think you're right. I know you're right. I think it's a good call. So and plus, you know what? It's a fucking Thursday night, too. I got to work the next day. So, yeah, I can't be banged up. So, yes. Good job by you. It'll be a non-beer event for me. Even though I will be like, ooh, there's the bar right over there. But I'm going to show some willpower. And I'm going to show some intestinal fortitude. And I'll watch the show. Well, how about this? Can I do a little heroin before I go?
Fine. Like class A drugs are fine.
Okay.
Like, at least you know where you stand with that.
Nice. Okay, good. I might get that.
So if you listeners have got any that you can share with Damon.
Yeah, clean needle, please.
Maybe?
Yeah, clean needle, please. I don't want to use your needle. That's a gross conversation. We're not talking about it. Terrible. But yeah, I think it's a good call. Good job by you. I'm going to heed your advice, and that's the way we're going. All right, so this week we had conversations via the text messaging. Not a lot going on in our world right now, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of a relief because usually when I say that, something massive happens, right. And then it ends up not being a slow news week. But it is a genuinely slow news week. So we've got a few different things we can touch on. We can discuss the Sacrogenesis card. We won't preview it because we'll say that for next week. Mm. We can preview some of the Road to Sacrogenesis shows. Mm. We can talk about the All Together show. There are some matches set for that at the Budokan. We can talk Alex Coughlin, mm-hmm. a bit of news coming down from his end. We've got KOPW to discuss and lots of listener questions. So I'm going to let you decide. Where would you like to go
nice.
First?
All right. Well, let's go with let's start with Conlon because I feel like that is a sensitive subject that we can kick around and maybe talk about a little bit about what that means in the grand scheme of things and if this has any long-lasting ramifications. So. And correct me if I'm wrong, he did confirm what we already knew, that he is stepping away, at least for a little bit, right? Do you think he's fully retired?
You never say never in the wrestling industry. And there's always the little voice in the back of my mind thinking like, oh, are we being worked here? Because I'm a suspicious man. But, I mean, if we take this at face value, then, yeah, I mean... there's really two conversations I want to have here. One about Alex Coughlin and his retirement, and two about the sort of journalistic aspect of this. So, I mean, let's tackle the latter first. Like you, as you said, we knew, but out of respect to Alex Coughlin, we didn't report that. We did at no time on the podcast or on Twitter or in any sort of public forum did I say, yes, Alex Coughlin is definitely retiring. With the caveat, and I said... on the show that news is Alex's to announce as and when he sees fit. So, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Damon. At no point did we report that he's retiring.
I don't think we did. I think we may have mentioned that, again, not retiring, but maybe, like, we may have made mention of it in Discord that he was probably not coming back.
But not in a public
correct.
Place,
right? Correct. I mean, well, so, it depends on what you consider public, because we try to keep that fucking...
Not on a public channel. Right. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So we talked about the clues that were there. I mean, he signed, what was it, fuck you and thank you after the Osaka Cage match, and then he disappeared for a long stretch of time. And a lot of people were speculating on... what was up there? You know, has his contract run out? Was he going to another company? Is he not wrestling anymore? And I think I'm not going to sort of flatter myself into thinking we are that influential that us talking about the same information that was out there for everybody else was, you know, setting the narrative. Like, but other people were able to join those dots and start asking those questions. So I don't necessarily think it was us that, you know, got this ball rolling with people, you know, wondering what happened to him. It's just for the record, his tweet on March 24 says, yeah, I'm retired and it sucks now. Leave me the fuck alone. Actually, I have some merch and gear to sell still, so don't fuck off just yet. So, yeah, buy an Alex Coughlin t-shirt, everyone. Do the man a solid if he is on his way up. So, yeah, out of respect for him, we didn't report that. I don't think that we unnecessarily stoked any fires or sort of mobilize people to harass Alex Coughlin and, you know, ask what's going on with him. Do you think that's fair?
I think so. I mean, or I hope we're not being accused of... are we really?
Well, not by any serious people, but I just wanted to have a separate conversation about I'm not going to call myself a journalist, although I'm an accredited journalist. I do have a newspaper journalism qualification. You are much more of a proper journalist than I am. Do you think that journalists, again, I'm not saying we are journalists, but people reporting news in a particular sphere have a duty to not report stuff that is going to make the subject of that sad or annoyed?
I'm going to give you a solid, it depends, right? So in many cases... let me give you an example. So in many cases, if you cover a team, at least how it works here in Philadelphia, right? There's on the record and there's off the record. And after a game, when they open up the locker room and the coach speaks at his podium and you're in the locker room and you're gathering around and you're getting player quotes and talking about said game, that is on the record. Right, it's on the record. If it's said in that locker room, it's unless it's expressly said that this is off the record, which it rarely happens. It's on the record. Now, at a practice, we're talking about practice. At a practice, it's different, right? It's a different. Different set of rules. So it's kind of like an unspoken body language kind of thing where a guy knows the media wants to talk to him and the scrum ensues. And it's kind of like, you know, we all kind of nod to him or her and they acknowledge that they're ready and boom, recorders are on. Cameras are rolling. We're on the record. But there are plenty of times when you are then exiting the locker room and you go into like the coach's office. And some of that stuff is off the record. This guy is hurt. He probably is not going to play this weekend. Off the record, right? And like there are times when, so, you know, I'm in radio. So like I need to get audio. So, you know, my recorder's rolling. They will kind of do an on the record and then, you know, they'll look at me to turn off your fucking recorder. And then I'll turn off my recorder. And sometimes I leave, sometimes I stay. And I know that that stuff is off the record. Now, like injuries and stuff like that, like the team will report it. At practices, if somebody gets hurt on the ice, people will report it. But there are certain kind of things that you understand about working a beat or working, covering a team, sports, et cetera, when you know things are on the record and things are off the record. Now, in this particular pro wrestling case, we're going to try to use sports as the measuring stick, as the litmus test, if you will. So we made the decision just based off of what we thought would be the right thing to do if we were in that scenario, if we were in that situation, right? Would we want some shit-faced, dumb fucking podcast to stick a microphone in our face or whatever, or speculate about information about my career or whatever the case? No, right? So we made that decision. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't necessarily have an issue if people got that information from reliable sources and reported it. We made the decision to not, because we felt like that's there. And there are other cases, New Japan specific, where we, when I say we, it's me, Joel, and maybe a source, and maybe another person, if we're trying to verify shit, where, you know, we make a decision to say we're not going to release that. We're not going to talk about that. Or we're not going to, at least in a public forum, say X, right? And I would say in 2024, there are two instances where I think we've done that. And again, your mileage may vary. You might think that it is our duty to talk about those things. It's really not, because we're not getting paid. And two, you know, sometimes being the person who breaks the story, like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, who cares? You know, if it's a situation where a guy is leaving, or a guy, you know, well, I mean, Okada being the perfect example. Like, when we started sniffing around, and where there was smoke, there was fire. We're gonna talk about that. Sorry, that's what we're gonna do. But in this situation, like what's the upside of that? I don't know. I don't think there is one. So again, have there been situations where we have made a conscious decision to say, yep, we're going to keep that to ourselves? 1,000%, people. 1,000%. You have no idea the stuff we keep from this podcast and even our Discord to a certain degree. But, you know, again, if you're another podcaster, if you're another, and I put in quotes, news source, and you want to report it, then knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. I mean, I hope that answers the question. That's how I felt about it. I can't believe, like, what were people saying?
Nothing to really take any serious notice of, to be honest. But again, I just want to be, but I think it was sort of Mandela affected that people thought that we reported something we actually hadn't. We reported nothing.
I don't think we did.
We said from the off, it's his thing to talk about, so we're going to leave it to him to talk about. And that could have been anything.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody's going to dig up a podcast from 4 weeks ago where it's like, Damon said that. Yeah, maybe I did. Like, I'm sitting here saying we probably didn't. And I think we didn't. But did we? I don't think we did, though. And again, the Discord.
I know, look, there were enough people speculating about it who are not in our spheres.
Right.
So it's not like we were the only people that have got people asking questions about Alex Coughlin.
Right. We're not allowed to ask questions? All right. Can I ask you this? Was it they should have announced something or reported something, or they're mad that maybe we did?
The latter.
Okay, they're mad. And what was the reasoning behind that, that we may have reported that?
That it was a personal thing that Alex... Yeah. Had the right to announce as and when he felt like it.
And I think,
if at all,
yeah, I mean, if we did do that, and I don't think we did, but if we did, then okay. I mean, just show me where we did it, and I'm wrong, and I'm talking out my ass. But I don't think we did. But okay, I mean, but like, okay, but like, if there's speculation of a fucking football player or a fucking cricket player.
Well, yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, if you found out that a football player was going to retire,
right.
Well, I mean, we've had this conversation before, but
yeah,
maybe we want to move on.
All right, I don't know. I just find people getting upset over the dumbest fucking shit. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know, I like it when people are upset about things that we do. That amuses and excites me, and I like to do it more. So.
All right, listen. I mean, that's why you're the best at what you do, because I just don't like people. Period. Especially on a platform like that where it's angry typing. Just relax. Go fucking. All right, let's move on. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do we feel about the Alex Coughlin retirement? Because we had a question that's sort of tangentially related from our Discord. Everyone's changed their name to Mega Round now, so it's hard to figure out who has sent this question. This is from Official Pingu, who says, was the cage match in Osaka worth it? As far as I know, the only lasting damage caused by the cage match was Henare's injury. So was it worth it in as much as sort of weighing out the positives of it, which I thought was a great, very memorable match. That's probably going to be in my match of the year shortlist. With Henare being on the shelf for a while, I don't think the match had anything to do with the Coughlin retirement.
I don't think so either. I think it was, from what we understand, there was a little bit before that, you know?
Yeah.
Look,
I would say yes, it was worth it.
I mean, here's the thing.
It was great.
Yeah, I think the
match... And when Henare does come back, I think he's going to have a lot of buzz around him.
I hope so.
You know, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, better him. I don't know what his New Japan cut would have looked like, but I'm sure he's going to be absolutely fine. I think he's going to be in an interesting spot when he comes back. The fans are going to be excited to see him. And, you know, we look for the positives on that time on the shelf.
Yeah. Here's what I don't understand as well. Like, I mean, again, pro wrestlers aren't always the brightest bulbs in the batch, right? And the industry does kind of, it does lend itself to people making bad decisions, right? I mean, just that very nature of what the fuck this is. But in the same breath, they're adults. Like, you're going to tell a fucking grown man that how, like, what he wants to do in a fucking pro wrestling ring? Like, really? Like, I don't know. Look, they did the match. It wasn't like they were brought in cages and thrown in the ring and said, okay, go an hour and kill each other. They, you know, they did this because they thought that would be the fitting way this match was going to go. And I love the match, and you know, it was very violent. Yes. It was, you know, an hour of brutality. That being said, I mean, they are pro wrestlers. They are adults, and they are like, I'm not going to sit here and fucking clutch my pearls and fuck, you know what I mean? Like, okay. So am I supposed to sit here and be like, okay, dude, don't block that puck. Don't block that 100-mile-an-hour slap shot in the playoffs. Don't get into the greasy areas in front of the net because you're going to get hit with a stick. And the guy who's fucking chopping me in the back of my legs to make sure that I am nowhere near the net, I want to finger wag at him too. And, you know, it's like, where do we stop? Where does it stop? Let's, you know, let's not have pitchers throw inside because the ball might hit somebody and they might get hurt. Like, what are we doing? Stop policing. Stop the fucking policing. People just want to fucking police. I hate the police. The band, too. They stink. Overrated pieces of crap. Stop with the policing.
You don't need to worry about upsetting any of our police officer listeners, because I ran all those guys off about 3 years ago, so we're fine.
I remember that one guy. I'm never going to listen to you guys again. And we're like,
I helped an old lady cross the road once. I will have you know.
And here's the thing, too. I have many friends that are in the law enforcement profession. One that just recently retired. And a good friend. So I don't hate all policemen. But I do hate them.
I do. I do. I hate everyone without exception. And I hate your friends who are policemen.
He's a nice man. He did good for societies. Yes. But yes. I hate the band. I'll say that. I'll give you that. That's definite. I don't know. People just love the police. People love the police pro wrestling. They just love it. Oh, this is unsafe. Don't watch it. That's the best thing I can tell you. Don't watch it. This week for WrestleMania weekend, I mean, there are so many, and I put in air quotes, death matches, like this weekend. It's unbelievable. And look, that's not my cup of tea, watching people jump into glass and barbed wire and fucking, like, that is just not my jam. I am not into it. But if that's what you want to do, go for it. Have fun. Go jump into your barbed wire. Go, and if you want to pay a ticket, go for it. I'm never going to tell you not to watch it. If they are adult, again, this, if you're fucking paying $50 for a bunch of 12-year-olds to jump into barbed wire, you got a problem, and I'm with you. I mean, I'm fucking right there with you. But adults, you know, consenting adults in a worked environment. Come on, people, fucking stop. If they want to carve up their bodies, fine. Who am I to judge? Guess what? I eat fucking terrible foods, right? I spent years drinking. My liver probably looks like a fucking catcher's mitt. Looks like an old shoe at this point. I don't expect anyone to fucking wag a finger. You know what I mean? Stop the policing, especially in pro wrestling. Something as legitimately as dumb as pro wrestling. Like, I feel like there are other things in the world that people can fucking police, as opposed to two guys pretending to fight. It's fucking preposterous.
So what would be some of your favorite memories of Alex Coughlin? I mean, he's a guy who had, I think, a lot of upside, but never really had that sort of stand-up match that made everyone stand up and go, wow, you know, this guy's the future. But a guy that I'm very sorry we're losing. Yeah. You know, I wish he wasn't retiring. I think he was, you know, compared to, like, I don't know, his tag team partner, Gabe Kidd, he was had vastly fewer matches under his belt than Gabe did. So I don't think it wasn't a fair comparison to sort of compare the two. Obviously, Gabe was further ahead and more developed than Alex was. He had still lots of reps to get in and lots of growing to do. So I would say the series of matches he had on Strong with Jao Kratos, they were really good. I enjoyed those a lot. The Jeff Cobb spots every time he wrestled him when he was able to lift him up was really impressive. Mm-hmm. I actually really liked the singles match he had with Great O'Conn prior to the Osaka Cage match. I thought that was a really sort of encouraging sign for me that this guy's, you know, starting to put things together, and I enjoyed the mat wrestling there. So, really sad news. But, what were your favourite memories of Alex Coughlin? Oh, and his promos, of course, that brilliant promo he cut at the G1 press conference where he was talking about how the company had fucked him and wouldn't even give him a T-shirt. No, that's coming from a very real place. And those were the moments where I thought, wow, you know, this guy's got something about him. He's got that charisma that I really was hopeful that he would start elevating above the pack. But sad news.
He's one of those guys that I thought had a different look. and a different feel about him. I think, unfortunately, one of the things that I will remember is the android gimmick at the TV taping in Philly. They did a strong taping, and he came out with that wacky, preposterous contraption on his back. And I hate to say it, but like, he's like another guy that's. I think he's proof that Strong itself really had no direction, and it was one of those things that was like a stopgap sort of thing, because people were trapped here in the States and they couldn't get over, and they needed to do something, and they created this thing, and like, he thrived, it felt like, there, and it felt like it took forever for him to find his groove, and that being in the new version of Bullet Club. You know, it kind of felt like it was almost, okay, finally a guy coming out of Strong and coming out of that LA dojo and coming out of, like, just felt like, okay, they at least, you know, we're moving forward with him in that. And again, it took forever, it felt like. But I think, and again, I have not spoken a word to him, but from everything that we can gather from not just necessarily his situation, but in others and in other people that we've spoken to, like, it is amazing how those guys, I don't know if they were fed a bag of lies. I don't know if they were fed false promises. I don't know what it really was when it came to how long it would take for these guys to be something in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, those are the things. Like, I just, unfortunately, for all the positives that you did mention, and I agree with those, like, I just feel like this overarching thing is just wasted time and wasted, not on his part, but on the company's part. Like,
yeah, I mean, you look at Carl Fredericks, now known as Eddie Thorpe. He didn't have that patience.
We thought, he was
fair
the guy.
Play. Just decided he wasn't going to sit around waiting.
We really thought he was the guy
and went in a different direction.
I don't know. It's so, one of those things where it's,
yeah,
like,
that whole class. You know, there's some very real frustration and resentment.
If you look back 3 years, 4 years, 5 years,
actually get these guys over to Japan
and
doing something
where
meaningful.
They are. To where you thought the projection would be, I don't know. It's just like another thing that I think falls into that folder of, you know, New Japan has this aura and this feeling and this thing of, okay, you know, if you can get there, you can make it anywhere, you know. And I don't know if that's necessarily 100% accurate, right? If that's 100%, like, a lot of smoke and mirrors, right, when it comes to the fact that, yep, I'm wrestling for New Japan Pro Wrestling, that I don't necessarily hear a lot with a lot of other companies. And maybe I do, but I don't, you know, maybe I don't heed it as much as I do because, you know, my interest is in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But it is one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I just think of him and just what could have been, what should have been, and maybe to a certain degree of the failings and the faults and the areas of improvement that New Japan can have in the future. So, I mean, it's like usually you're like, people are like, okay, well, And the reason I'm talking, everyone, just to FYI, Joel has some technical issues, so I'm kind of flying solo here for a second until Joel gets back on. It's a lot of those guys coming from Strong. You thought back when it was clap crowds and back when it was empty arenas and back when. We were talking about, you know, when crowds come back, these are the guys that are going to carry everything. And it just felt like, you know, A, it took forever, and B, it never really materialized. Like Strong being this feeder system, and again, a lot of it had to do with COVID and not having people being able to get over there to Japan, to the official dojo. But that's really kind of like what it was. And I guess the realization of that, you know, can we count on one hand the guys that have at least made it to like what Coughlin was at, like where they were? Like you go down that entire roster back in the day, and it seems like a lot of those guys are just, they've vanished. They've moved on. They haven't panned out. And it's just a weird thing. And it is, again, a realization of what Strong was, what it could have been, and I guess the gap, that huge gap that's in between the two. And I think he's the poster child of that. Joel's back. I was talking about, you know, how it just feels like for Strong, like the guys coming out of Strong, like Alex is probably one of the top guys. And really what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? Like there's a certain level that those Strong guys could achieve. And I don't know necessarily think it's, you know, the Wuthering Heights we're looking at, right? Joel's offline again. Joel's having a lot of internet problems. Listen, we thought we solved that when he finally moved away. Back over to the European nations. I guess not. Must be some trouble. I know. Fun fact: he had a little trouble with the kids today. Drawing on the walls. A lot of artwork going on. Joel had to run around. So they're probably like pulling cables out of the wall. Poor guy. Runs around ragged. All right. So for the time being, it's me. It's me. The D-O-double-G. Did I just say that? Ugh. Stop. So I'm going to try and vamp a little bit. Okay, that's Coughlin. I guess I'm driving a boat now. 36 minutes into the show, I'm driving a fucking boat. There's really not a lot of shows that I can sit here and tell you that I'm excited for. At least this week leading up to, and then 2 weeks or so leading up to what's hopefully a pivotal moment for New Japan, right?
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from Arena Club. .com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy slab packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's gonna be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably gonna get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You can display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
I think everybody's got this one circled on their calendar to see, like, okay, what does this New Japan Cup win mean? Does this mean that we can expect bigger things? Like, is that like the line in the sand? Not even just for Yota Tsuji, but for a lot of the other guys that we're all in this holding pattern for. And we're all in this kind of waiting for that next step. Like, we know the troubles that hit us when it came to Okada leaving, when it came to Will Ospreay leaving, when it came to, and again, even to a certain degree, Tama Tonga. You know, your mileage will vary. But when you lose two of the best pro wrestlers on planet Earth, yeah, I think it's natural for fans of the product to sit and wonder, okay, what's next? How do we pivot? How do we make something out of this situation? And once again, it does fall on the shoulders of a lot of young guys. And some may argue that this is a lot of pressure on these guys to meet lofty standards that were set by people who, to be fair, had a lot of experience. You know, it's not like Hiroshi Tanahashi showed up and just, you know, took the ball and completely ran with it. There were growing pains. Shinsuke Nakamura is another guy. You know, it's not like he just walked into a fucking wrestling ring and said, okay, I'm taking over. And the expectations that we have on a lot of these young guys to lead us into the promised land, not only the remainder of this year, next year, the year after, it's a lot. And we do have expectations, and we do want, you know, I guess what a lot of us are here for is that feeling of, you know, we want those glory days back. And that might be a tough ask. It might be a very tough ask. I mean, we're talking about, hey, guys, we need you guys to carry these shows and carry us into the future. Coming off of arguably the greatest run New Japan Pro Wrestling has ever had, especially here in the States, right? So that's a tough ask. It's not an easy ask, especially when, at least here in the States, and you know, it's not like I have all the data to back this up, but at least it feels like it's a situation where interest is down, buzz is down. We're not growing an audience. You know, in fact, the people that were there before, you know, a lot of have either checked out, or their interest has waned, or it's just a, you know, a thing they'll parachute in and out of. And the hardcores, the true hardcores, they're sticking through it thick and thin and want to see the growth and want to see the progression and want to see where we go. You know, I don't want to say they're few and far between, but, you know, listen, if our listenership, if buzz on the street, if it's the amount of texts, if it's the amount of messages, if it's the amount of interaction on our Discord, if those are any indicators, then you would think, you know, interest is down in the product. So it's a big.
Did you see that the tweet from the Japanese fan about the attendances?
I did see that, the one that you tweeted. Thank you. I vamped for like 5 minutes. I felt really good about myself. I felt like I could.
Oh, excellent. My Wi-Fi just crapped down.
No problem. I figured you were having some technical issues. Yeah, I feel like I was. You know, I had my own talk show. I was just vamping. It was Joe Lanza style. Yeah, I did see the tweet that you reposted and. Yeah, look, I mean, numbers are down, right? Numbers are down.
No, well, compared to last year, they're up slightly. So total attendance from at the same point in the calendar year, 2023 was 77,066 and 2024, 82,644. So the average has gone from 2,267 to 2,361.
Okay.
Now, there are a lot of caveats to that.
Yes.
And I think it is very foolish to take that as to be like, oh, look, you see, the House of Torture is beloved by all in Japan. I think there are a lot of moving parts to this. And in discussions we've had with people who do follow this sort of stuff very closely, I think we're going to have to wait till around Dominion time before we can really start drawing comparisons and looking where we are as a product now.
Yes. And again, if you told me that from 2022, 2023, 2024, that, like, let me throw it this way. Are you impressed by that growth? Because to me, I don't know if necessarily I am. Like,
no, at that point in last year, they were just about breaking out of the shackles of the clap crowds and the restrictions and people, you know, just about coming out of their shells and deciding to go out to public events and stuff. I would expect higher growth than that.
Right.
I don't think those are numbers that we should be breaking out the champagne for, personally.
Correct. That's like when I talk about overall interest, and I talk about, even though again those live gates are incrementally higher. Like if you told me this is where we would be, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I don't know if I'm not. I would think it would be higher, the growth. I would hope it would have been. And again, positive numbers are positive numbers, right? It's not.
Yeah, and that's the lifeblood of this company, are those live ticket sales.
Yep.
So that's good. Like, well, I'm not trying to spin this as a bad thing at all, but what's that idiom? Don't make good the enemy of perfect.
I like that. I do like that. Yeah. I mean, I think everyone is in agreement that yes, while the numbers are slightly higher, it's not like, if again, projection wise, I would have hoped that we would have been higher. And just like you said, there are a ton of moving parts. Like, you lose two of your biggest stars and two of the best pro wrestlers on planet Earth. People might expect that number to be significantly down, right? And again, I think you nailed it in the sense of we're really not going to know where this company sits in not only the landscape in Japan, pro wrestling and fans there, but even here in the West. You know, I think we're both in step when we say that interest is down here in the West, right? And I say that. We got a Chicago show that's doing pretty well, right?
I think Sakura Genesis is very close to selling out too.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, that is with a configuration of two tour box, not four tour box. Although that is by what seems to be fan demand. Correct. They don't like having four people in the box.
Oh, sort.
But still, you know, it would be false for us to be standing here saying, oh, the company's dying, because it's not.
No.
They're doing okay.
Yeah. And that's even with us doing a 2-hour show shitting on House of Torture and then being on top and worrying about where are the main events coming from and all the things that we have concerns with, the actual numbers are up, right? Once again, negative Damon in the house. You know, I would have liked it to be higher, but you know, it's still up. So you got to tip your cap. And once again, I'm sitting here talking about interest in the States. We could say whatever you want. Say whatever you want. Who's driving the fucking boat in ticket sales in Chicago? The fact of the matter is that when they announced that show, we all laughed. We giggled. And we said, no fucking way they're getting more than 2,000 people, 3,000 on their best fucking day. Guess what? They're pushing 6. And they're opening up sections that they had once said, okay, there's no way we're fucking selling a ticket to these. They're opening them up. And if you want to say that's Mox, great. Well, guess what? Whatever it takes, it's going to be one of the biggest gates of New Japan's year, right? And the people working that show, trust me, they want as many people to be there as possible. So I guess anyway, you're right. We're not going to know for a while, but if the numbers are up, the numbers are up, and there's no need to be gloomy, I guess. And I can't say, let me take that back. There is always a need to be gloomy, but it's not, we're not dying. We're not on life support. We're not, you know, flatlining. I don't want to sit here and say we're thriving, but
well, okay. Let's counterbalance it with this: that there is there are people who work for the company who think that Gedo is deliberately booking it badly to get back at Kidani. So let's use that for just a bit of balance. Now, I'm not saying I agree with that at all, or saying that you should agree with it, but I think to say that, yeah, everything's going swimmingly, this is New Japan firing on all cylinders, they've got all their ducks in a row, well-oiled ship, that would be false as well.
Oh my God, would that be false? I mean, we got guys who can't even buy ties. All right? How great can it be? Can I, and again, we're going to talk in code a little bit here. And we don't have to, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Did you read the thread between us and the person that we talk to a lot?
Yeah, we're talking about ELP and Zack Sabre Jr. in Thailand struggling to purchase sex workers on their meager Japan wage.
That's not what we're talking about.
You said they're struggling to buy ties. I don't know what we're talking about here.
No, I'm talking about for suits.
I know. Yes, yeah. I did read all that, and yeah, it's a mess there.
Right. Like,
I don't know. Yeah.
And one of the things I was talking about while you were having your technical difficulties was, the glamour of New Japan Pro Wrestling that everyone thinks about it. It's so indie pro wrestling. It's silly. It's really comical how indie pro wrestling it is. Like the reality of it. Like there's a lot of fucking sizzle. Sometimes you really wonder how the fuck are they doing what they're doing and getting away with it. Everyone.
Completely changing the subject. Adam.
Yeah, go ahead.
Totally random, because I just want to say this before it disappears from my head. Give me a percentage chance that Kevin Kelly returns to work for New Japan in 2024.
You think he's throwing out those little tweets, those little, hey, remember we had a great time? it's like one of those trying to get back with your girlfriend kind of thing. Yeah.
I think he's just worried about possibly missing out on being on the end of year Super J-Class Wrestle Kingdom preview.
Yeah. I think
so. He feels that unless he is working for the company, we're not going to call him back. Kevin, it's fine. We're still going to call
him.
We still want you.
Yeah. You're still our guy. I haven't talked. Is that English? I have not spoken. I haven't talked with him. I have not spoken with him. And again, I just feel like, I don't know.
Well, apparently he's not speaking to many people. So.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I'll just fire a text and see if he'll get back to me. See where I stand. see if I'm on the pass list.
In a circle.
Yeah. Inside circle. Do I think he comes back? No, I don't. One, because I want Walker to succeed. It's his chance. Now, again, not that he's going to, but if he fell flat on his face, absolutely. Let's pivot and go get Kev back in. But I think this is his show right now. I think this is Walker's show. He's got a deal in place, and let him do it. Let him do it. I don't know if Kevin really wants to be that guy anymore of the travel and the what. Now, again, when the bank account runs a little thin, you got to make ends meet.
You think working for New Japan is going to improve that problem?
I don't think he would work for New Japan. I think he would have to be back with TV Asahi. Because keep in mind, his contract was not with New Japan. And that's one of the things that gives him, or at least at the time, gave him a lot more creative freedom, like to do our dumb show, right? Because I guarantee you, if it was a New Japan contract, there would probably be a little bit more of a struggle getting him on, right? But, when he started, he was the guy, and he kind of made it that team out of what he felt he needed to have a successful broadcast. That's built now, right? There are already people in place in those roles. So and again, if I'm Kevin Kelly, do I want to come back and just be the announcer, right? And then what does that mean? Does he then report to fucking Chris Charlton? Right? That'd be weird. So I don't know. I haven't asked him, and but just I don't. I would say less than 25%. How about you?
Yeah, I'd say the same. I think maybe he's just feeling a bit nostalgic and enjoying looking back on the good days, as we all like to do from time to time.
Sure. But
anyway, let's move on. I will let you choose. Do you want to look at the Sacrogenesis card, Road to Sacrogenesis, or All Together?
I mean, the only thing really interesting on the Road to shows, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that KOP title, KOPW title, right? That's about the only thing that has any.
I've done my research here. So one of these shows will be video on demand, and that is the March 31st show from Shizuoka, Hamamatsu. And the Korakuen Hall show on April 3rd will be live on New Japan World. So I would say those two would be worth touching base on. Let me read you the card. I'll read you the card, and you stop me if there are any of these undercard matches that you would like to discuss. Shama Kato against Jeff Cobb, Taguchi, Kevin Knight, and Kushida against Gedo, Driller Maloney, and Clark Connors. Oleg Bolton, Despy, Honma, Yano, and Ishii against Taka, Doki, Yuya, Taichi, Sanada. Tiger Mask and Goto against Ishimori and Chase Owens. Yo, Makabe, and Shota against Kanemaru, Sho, and Ren. Bushi, Hiromu, and Yota Tsuji against Callum Newman, Akira, and TJP. Shingo and Naito against Yujiro and Evil. And main event, KOPW 2024 Provisional Championship. Challenger Tangaloa taking on the KOPW 2024 holder, Great Okan. Now, I will tell you the stipulation for that. It is the Rural Revitalization match. So it is the Rural Revitalization in Hamamatsu match, which got 72% of the votes, compared to Tangaloa's King of Kaiju match, which I think was going to be some sort of Texas death match. So the match will officially be a Rural Revitalization in Hamamatsu bout. The match will be contested in the 2-out-of-3 rounds format. Round 1, 10-minute most covers match. Every pinfall attempt results in 1 point. Round 2, 5-minute eel-eating contest. I think that would be that delicious, what is it, unagi, that marinated eel fillets. Very, very nice. However, I'm not sure I'd want to be doing this after eating eel. Round 3, strap match. Competitors join with a strap and must touch all four corners consecutively. So the only way to watch live will be in person, March 31st, but thanks to the personal request of Great Okan, the match will air on NJPW World at a later date. So I don't know if this whole card will be on NJPW World or just this KOPW match. But that is KOPW match. What do we think?
People enjoy pro wrestling for different reasons. That's do I want to watch fucking people eating eel in any way, shape, or form in a pro wrestling match? I don't. And the only time I would really want to watch people eat eel would be like restaurant reviews or five things you need to do in Tokyo or whatever the case may be. I don't know what to say about that. I like the fact that the guys have at least some creativity when it comes to the stipulations in this match. But to sit here and have this be the main event, once again, it is a Road to show. And we all know how they go. That might be one of the worst on paper. On paper, I'm going to take it back. Maybe not the worst, but I don't think there's anything necessarily. And yes, you could say, okay, in one of the multi-man tags, the interaction between this guy and that guy, I might look forward to. Okay, fine. Good for you. Overall, the overall feeling of this card is 1,000% skippable. This is something that is totally skippable. Now, the good news is this. A lot of times, like maybe not a lot of times, but at least a handful of times, or at least maybe I'm just projecting my hopefulness, is that when these shows that are on paper might not necessarily seem like anything to write home about, you do get guys turning it on a little bit. Now, do I give a shit about seeing Tiger Mask at this point? Truth be told, no. Do I care about Togi Magabe getting in the ring? I'll set the over under at one back bump. And I can feel the wave of momentum of people taking the under. Does that excite me? No. And a main event that, quite honestly, we got a guy who is either hurt or his new gimmick is to try things that he's either A, purposely going to fuck up, or B, it is out of his depth of a pro wrestler to try certain maneuvers. I guess that might be, like, if you like the car crash element of pro wrestling, that might be something that you would want to. I don't care about the eating of the eels. I don't care about, and I guess also what worries me is that while the stipulations may have been unique and, you know, they're able to do what they want and have a delicious meal in the middle of a match, I worry about the creativity. Like, how are they going to work this? Because to me, it doesn't feel like these are guys that are known for their in-ring creativity. That's usually left to other people, whether that be Taichi or Shingo, or, you know, at least to make these wacky, like this could go south very quickly, right? And I don't know if I have the trust in the people in the ring to make it, to get over the hurdle of, okay, on paper, this is wacky. And how are we going to make this interesting? How are we going to make this fun? How are we going to make this, you know, are people going to tune in for this? So I do have concerns with that. And everything else, you know, multi-man tags. We're going to see a lot of LIJ versus United Empire, the remnants of. Plenty of multi-man tags. We all know how that's going to go. A lot of guys, they're dusting off, kind of fill a void, fill a role on the undercard of the show. I'm trying to think, like, what would be the match that I'm particularly excited about over and above. And again, it's not like I'm sitting here salivating over this main event, although I am salivating over the idea of getting some fresh, delicious eel. Is there anything else in this show that I give a flying fuck about? Not really. You know, and again, as we predicted, we got multiple title holders nowhere to be found. Again, it's a Road 2 show. I get it. But nowhere to be found. Look, I'm glad the numbers are at least trending in a positive direction. It does make me. I'd be curious. I tell you what. The people who invested their hard-earned money buying a ticket, and you know they got these tickets in advance before knowing a show, knowing what nonsense they were in for. And again, a lot of these towns, they know what's up with these Road 2 shows. But even then, at certain times, there are little glimmers of, you know, you're going to get a decent match. I can't imagine. Imagine buying a ticket, excited, New Japan's coming to town. Catch some pro wrestling in your local barn, your local arena, gymnasium. And that's what they're trotting out. Woo! And again, maybe I'm looking at it from a weird perspective. Listen, I think there's a huge difference between us doing a podcast, you listening to this podcast, and, you know, someone in rural Japan getting their Row 2 show. I'm not saying that they're any smarter or any less smart or appreciate the product or whatever. I'm just saying it's probably a different audience. So their palette for big time New Japan Pro Wrestling might not be as it's not like they're us wackos in our Discord or elsewhere. So yeah, it's a Row 2 show. I can't sit here and say that I'm not waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning for that. Let's put it this way. Maybe it'll work. I just don't have the trust in the guys in the ring to make these stipulations be anything that that anyone's writing home over. And I guess my fear is that, and again, it's one show, it's a Row 2 show, but this has got a potential to be one of those shows where people are just like, oh, this is where New Japan's going. This is where they're at. This is what's main eventing. And again, it's a Row 2 show. There's been plenty of Row 2 shows with all those the people that we mentioned leaving and all, you know, that haven't been anything great. It's just that on paper, this is a scary one, right? Let's be honest. If we're looking on paper, this is a scary one. So I can't imagine New Japan World subscriptions getting a nice little bump from this. But you know, listen, I want to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. I can't tell you. I've been wrong plenty of times. I'll take the fucking loss. No problem. No problem at all. I just don't see it. I just don't see how they're going to pull that one off. But we'll see. If it's great. And here's another thing, too. If you're going into these shows with zero expectations, right? Maybe it fucking, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. Maybe it turns out to be a 5, 6. I mean, if you're going into it with nothing, not necessarily a waste of your time. But I'll be honest with you. I'll probably wait to see what others say. See if I got to check this out. Even the most hardcore, even the most passionate, I'll watch everything New Japan Pro Wrestling. Even they got to be like, oh, really? Okay. And this weekend. Is it this weekend? No, it's not this coming weekend. It's next weekend. And there's going to be a lot of pro wrestling for people to sink their teeth into, too. So, speaking of which, I'll be at the Hitchcock Show, 2300 Arena on Thursday. If you're there, say hi. Don't buy me a beer, per Joel. Per Joel's instructions, do not. Maybe a Coca-Cola or something like that would be nice. So I'll be there. I'll also be at WrestleCon. Roaming around, seeing what's up. A lot of, not a lot, but one former Dennis Carluzzo talent that I'm very familiar with. Maybe I'll see her. I doubt she'll recognize me, though. I'll probably have to explain. But maybe she will. Who knows? That Dawn Marie, right? Dawn Marie. I told you a story about Dawn Marie.
Am I back?
You're back now. Back now.
Yeah, there's a big storm outside. I think that might be affecting my Wi-Fi. Right. What have you been talking about?
Oh, I'm all over the place. I was talking about the main event. I was talking about expectations having none, but maybe going into it, you know, maybe it gives you a 5 or a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, if you're going into it with nothing, then okay, that might be an enjoyable day. But there's nothing really to sink your teeth into in this show. Like, aside from, and I was saying how, with these stipulations, I mean, they're wacky stipulations, but if there were other people in the ring that I trusted more to make those stipulations seem palatable and enjoyable and maybe even good, I wouldn't have so much concern. But like, I don't have any confidence in those guys making those stipulations work, right, in the context of a pro wrestling match. I just don't. And then everything else is like, okay, you're carting out Makabe, you're carting out Tiger Mask, you're carting out Homa. like, I can't sit here and tell you that there's much of that raring to go for these shows. The house, it's a house show in the middle. Where is it? Where is this one at? Do you know?
Hamamatsu. Okay.
I mean, you know, when New Japan Pro Wrestling comes to town, they buy their ticket. They're going to watch some pro wrestling. I'm sure that the general audience there is a little bit different than, say, you know, us doing a podcast, right? Or maybe even like an Osaka crowd, right? I think, you know, they're there to watch, have a good time, watch some pro wrestling. Not necessarily sit there with their fucking notebooks and be like, ah, this guy messed up an arm drag and blah, 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 blah. So we'll see. But no, I'm not excited. Listen, we've talked for an hour and 8 minutes. If you're having difficulties, let me say the word. We can pull the plug on this fucker.
I'm just dismayed by the amount of questions we've got about the Kirby W match.
All right,
our friend over at Keeping It Strong Star, Jeremy Donovan. Look, Jeremy, get in touch. We need to do some audio together, I think so. With you and the young boy. It says, if you're competing for Kirby W, what wacky nonsensical stipulation would each of you come up with? I would... chili eating. Yeah, it's got to be a chili eating contest. So you'd have to eat a Carolina Reaper chili and then... have some sort of 5-minute wrestling match or something like that. So something where the side effects of eating the chili would, maybe eat the chili and then have a match about 12 hours later without going to the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some sort of toilet submission match. Carolina Reaper toilet submission match.
There I like we go. That.
That's how I built it.
I'm going to have a chastity belt match. So every 5 minutes we'll have a scantily clad sexual performer enter the ring, and if you get an erection, you lose. Right?
I like it. That's good. I'm gonna write my next piece of erotic fiction about that. Boo says, what move do we think Tangelo will try this time that he has no business attempting? I really think he should run with this gimmick and just do increasingly complex moves. Like, I'd like to see him try a shooting star press. I'd pay good money to watch that. I'd watch it if he did that.
Gotta be a shooting star press, right? He's gonna land right on the fucking back of his head, Brock Lesnar style. I mean, I'll say that. I mean, he tries these. I don't know if it's a gimmick at this point. I don't know if it's a fucking just, I don't know what he's thinking with that, but yeah, I'll go shooting star press. Why not? We knew this was going to be a short show, right? We told you. You bought your ticket. I say let you crash. We tried. We really did. We gave it the best effort. One, we had no shows. And two, Joel's going through Hurricane Prince Charles, King Charles at this point. So yeah, technical difficulties abound. So maybe we just as Joel likes to say, we put a pin in it. We give you a good hour and 14 minutes of our time and effort. Yeah, we can put a pin in it. So why don't we do this? I think I can remember it off the top of my head. I don't have the notes in front of me, but what? Super J-Cast, Red Circle, thought that shit. Throw us some money. We could always use that. I always like it when Joel sends over the notification of payment. That's always, oh, you just texted. Let's see what we got here. What a terrible joke. He's like, I give up, LOL. Well, there you go. Okay, I'm just going to send him a bag. I am going to wrap up the show. The show. Oh, here he goes. If you want to... Or just wrap up. All right, yeah, I'm just gonna wrap it up. You want to run through that? Yeah. Okay. All right. So Red Circle, you know the deal, right? Give us money, buy a T-shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees. I haven't heard of anybody buying many T-shirts. We did promise some new designs, but we'll see how that goes. Can't guarantee we'll have some anytime soon, but. You know, we talk a good game. You got to follow Editor Dan, right? He's in that great band, Escape the Box. They did this acoustic version. I forget the name of the song. Really good. I'm telling you, if you don't, if you're not fucking following them on the Spotify or your Apple Music or what have you, let me tell you, they're doing some good stuff. Escape the Box, love them. So follow Editor Dan, Lousy Hero. I think it's 219 or 244. You know what the deal is. Follow you, Lousy Hero on the Twitter. Yeah, I mean, if you want to see me, I'll be at the WrestleCon. I'll be at the fucking Hitchcock Memorial at the 2300 Arena. I'll be all bouncing around that weekend. So maybe we'll see. Maybe you'll see me. Feel free to say hi. Again, no beers. With that being said, maybe our wackiest show ever. Maybe it was good. Maybe you enjoyed it. Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck cares? All right, I'm wrapping it up. See you nerds next week.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.